Pasuk Yod, Kiat Sidim Sivuchim, on page 547. Kiat Sidim Sivuchim, Ki Ali De Hashetef Hazen this Bahel Sar Dan Apal the Hisyoesh. Now, who is Sar Dan Apal? A name of a Malach. Okay, it's name of a Malach, the Hisyoesh, the Orach Mareches Koitzim Kisuchim Boesh Yitatsu. Maybe not. Maybe San Darav is not a man. Maybe it's the name of the general. Could be making a mistake. Maybe I'm sorry. Maybe it's the name of the general. One of the generals of Sancheriv. Okay, let's see. V'hisyo esh, and he gave up hope. The orach mareches koitzim kisuchim bo esh yitatsu, and the arrangement of thorns will burn in a bonfire. The Allah al Hamoikid who will base of Nishifu Shama of Zetir Shamelach will be based on Shasu Oz Vinish the Stakru Kamoshahoya Darkam Shoy Beserva Yoyin Tamid. The king and all of his people, they became intoxicated, like that was their derech. Umitech Shikhus Bo al Hasidim Sivuchim She Mareches Hakoitzim Vahamadur Shal Esh. Okay, I'm not really sure the depth of what he's trying to say over here, but something along the lines that Sancheriv is going to be utterly destroyed. Sardan Apal, it escapes me if this is the name of a Malach, or it's the Sar Shal Maila, or this is one of his generals, and their derech was to get drunk. V'yagam shehasivu'im hoyu kisov'om, ritzon alayma, sheshu yayin b'chol zois, even though they were intoxicated. Kasher karvu al hasirim, hasivu'chim, ukulu kakash yovesh mole. Ritzon alayma. Kikasha malu yimei giduloi, like straw that is in its fullness, then it's yabesh and it's dry. Shaz yisarev takef beharichoi esh, it burns immediately. It's combustible. V'alachim in hayayin nasu kiveshim. So he's trying to say over here is that how could it be here in this pasuk that they are going to be completely consumed in fire when they are moist, when they're wet. What are they wet from? Wine. If it says first, uchis sav am sivuim, when they are thoroughly intoxicated from drink, that means they're wet. Yayin, if we're describing here people that are, I mean, everything is a metaphor, but you cannot deny the fact that wine is a liquid. And when they are saturated with the liquid of yayin, then their bodies cannot possibly burn like straw. And the answer to that question is, the intensity of the heat is so great, it will instantly cause the moisture of the yayin to evaporate, and they will be completely consumed in this fire. They're going to be ukilu, completely burnt, like straw that's dry, even though they are sivuchim uchisovam, even though they are in a state of, I'm sorry, even though they are uchisovam sivuim, even though they are filled with liquid, the liquid here being the yayin. Was the Yerush? He was the king that was in command at the time when they were destroyed, at the time when because Sancheriv died, Sancheriv ultimately he was killed by his own children. Sancheriv's downfall began a slow downfall when he tried to conquer Yerushalayim on the night of Pesach, and miraculously his entire army died, and the next morning, the only ones that were alive were Sancheriv and a few of his soldiers. Pasuk says a handful. They went back home, and it says there that his own children murdered their father because of his miserable leadership and what he brought about, and they took over. And then I think they were killed, if I'm not mistaken. They were killed, and ultimately this person, he quotes over here, his name was Sar Dan Apal. He was the one that was the leader of Sancheriv at the time when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power and conquered the nation of Ashur. And it says here, he arranged a mareches koitzim kisuchim bo'esh yitatsu, that he commits suicide. The way the Malbim describes the history of what happened when this person, Sar Dan Apal, saw that the enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, is closing in upon him, and his days are numbered, and he's about to be destroyed. So he brought together all of his men, and they committed suicide. How? Through incineration. They locked themselves all up in a house, and they lit the whole house on fire, and they burnt themselves. Similar to Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, when he ended the war, supposedly he torched himself. Whatever they did over there, something like that. He killed himself, and then him and his wife and Braun. What was her name?
Eva Braun.
So he also they burnt the where he was incinerated, and it says over here something very similar. It says V'arach, going back to the second wide, the first wide line, going up a line, V'arach mareches koitzim kisuchim ba'ishitatsu, V'ol al hamoiked hu v'chol beisoy v'nisraf shama. When he saw that there was no hope, he went. He brought his whole family together, and they all killed. They commit suicide, and they burnt their bodies, and that's what it says over here in this pasuk. Pasuk Yud says. Ki al hasirim sivuchim uchesavam sivuim. That it's describing, according to the Malbim, it's not a metaphor. What we learned yesterday, according to Rashi, the Mitzudas, and the Radak, Pasuk Yud was a metaphor. We are describing the nation of Ashur. And we gave different examples as to what it means, the sirim sivuchim. We start off with the idea that it's organized crime, even though they are in a very strong state, where they have enormous sophistication and power, and each member is covering for the other, it's not going to make a difference. They're going to be completely obliterated. And when we says in the pasuk uchesavam sivuim, we have different interpretations. It means they while they had a party, according to Rashi's first shot, and according to the Mitzudos, is that this destruction that's going to come upon them is going to take place at the time when they least expect it. They were celebrating their great success. They're extremely sophisticated. They're organized. It's like you can't touch them. They're like a bundle, a collection of thorns. Wherever you put your hand, you're going to get hurt. And they're at a point in time when they're celebrating. They're drinking a lot of wine. At that moment in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and going to obliterate them. And then we have another interpretation. Like it, kisidim sivuchim means they turn astray. The word sir means to turn away from Hashem. And not only do they turn away from Hashem, they enjoy it. They relish. They celebrate in their act of rebellion. And when that happens, Hashem will completely destroy them. Along comes the Malbim, and he says, none of the above. The Malbim says, it's a very basic, simple translation. It's like what the Abarbanel would say. Rabbi Noyevsky was here. He would tell you the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel is always very, very straight. It takes everything very literally. And here it's describing the end game. At the end of the life of the nation of Sancheriv, that was at this point in time under the authority of this person whose name was Sar Dan Apal. He was it's not even so clear that he was even a descendant, but he was the person who took the reins of leadership in the nation of Ashur. And when he saw that the end is near, the enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, is closing in on him, and all is lost. He did not want to be taken as a prisoner. So what did he do? He took his whole family together, and he surrounded his home with thorns. Thorns and thistles, basically things that are combustible, that will easily burn. And he then, I guess, commits suicide, him and his entire family. And someone there lit a spark, and the entire home where him and his family were together was completely burnt down to nothing. Similar, like I told you, what Hitler did at the end of the war, he committed suicide, and the place where he was completely burnt. So that's exactly what this pasuk. And now, when they commit suicide, it's not so easy to commit suicide. You hear what goes on there. You hear about these crazy these suicide bombers in Eretz Yisrael. They're always drugged up. When their handlers send them out on a mission, they drug them. Whenever they were stopped, the very last moment, it's always discovered that these people were heavily drugged. Many of them are heavily drugged when they're sent out. So they did the same thing. In order for them to commit suicide, it wasn't so easy. They would drug themselves. What was the drug of the ancient times?
Wine.
So here it says, it's describing, it's giving you a very, very bare, literal description of the end of the life of the Malchus of Ashur. At this moment in time, it's under the authority of this person, Sardan Apal. He is now committing suicide. And the way he will commit suicide is by drinking a lot of yayin. And that way they're not in a frame of mind where they're conscious of what's going on 100%. So it's easy for them just at that moment in time to kill themselves. So that's what the second part of the pasuk, Uchis Sof Om Sivuim. They're intoxicated. Intoxication as a way of dying in order to lighten their senses. And then they surround themselves in a room that is filled with explosives, so to speak. And this explosives here are the sirim sivuchim. And then someone lights a match, ukilu, poof, and they blow up, they go up in smoke, they're completely consumed like thorns that are dry and there's nothing left of them. So this is the Malbum's perish of the pasuk, very, very literal, describing a very specific moment at the end of the existence of this nation, unlike what we've learned yesterday from the Mitzudos and Rashi and the Radak, that was more of a metaphoric interpretation of what's going to happen at the end of the Tkufa, the era of the Malchus of Ashur. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Mimech, pasuk Yidal from the Malba, Mimech, Nesipon of Elir Ninve. Now the Navi turns his face, he pays towards the city of Ninve. Oimer Eilech, he says to Ninve, Hine Mimech Yotzach HaRosha, Hazeh Shehu Choshev Ro'al Hashem. It was from you that went forth this evil man, that is Choshev Ro'al Hashem, Lichbar B'mitzius Hashem, to deny the existence of Hashem, v'hashko chosoi, v'hu yoyeitz atzas b'lial lifreik oil v'lastos kol hato'evos, and it was him who advised the world to do disgusting things, to be a b'lial, to break off the yoke and do all of these abominations, and now it's payday for you as well, not just payday for the wicked man, the day of reckoning has come for the country, for the civilization, for the city that has produced this evil man.
Who's this
man? Sancheriv. Sancheriv.
He came from Nineveh.
Yeah. Sancheriv was born, his roots are in Nineveh. Okay, let's now take a look over here, the Lukut Eshas, on the bottom page 546, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Mimech Yotza Choshev al Hashem Ra'o Yo'etz Belial. Ki Yipoli Mimcha. It says in the Pasuk, Ki Yipoli Mimcha, if a person does not know, this pasuk is discussing the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, Kibam Ladavar, Bein Dom Ladon, Bein Dom Ladon, Bein Din Ladin, Vekamta Vyolisas, you go to the Shoifet, Bein Nega Lonega. So this pasuk is describing the central authority of law in Klal Yisrael. Vekamta Vyolisas, Lamakum Ashayif Hashem Lokecha, there they will be, you have to appoint in the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, in the Lishkas HaGozis, a Sanhedrin that will be the authority and on the final authority in all matters of Halacha, the highest court. So here, that's what the Pasuk says in Dvarim, Yudzayin, and here we're making a drasha when it says, Mimicha ki yipolei mimicha zeyoyetz haboki bi'ibur hashana. An expert, if you do not have a counselor, a person that is an expert in making the calculations, the complex calculations of time, Bi'ibur Hashana, to know if we should add another month to this year or not, Shem Yachloik al Bezdin Hagadol Nerog, V'chein hu oimer mimech yotza choshev al Hashem ra yoyetz b'liyal. Okay, we're describing over here another element of a Zokain Mamre. If you have a person that decides to disagree with the highest court in the land, and make his own calendar, and divide Klal Yisrael, the ultimate division in Klal Yisrael can come about when two groups are following different calendars. That's probably the biggest miracle of our survival in the history of Klal Yisrael. Because today in Klal Yisrael, there's no unity, no agreement on anything. Not even what the Aleph Beis looks like. Okay, there's mamish nothing. There's nothing, any halacha, you'll find someone that'll tell you, pum fakert. Beis Shammai, going all the way back to Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. You have the most basic, most everything is a machlokes. So how could it possibly be that still today, Klal Yisrael has only one calendar? There's only one calendar. On the calendar, any calendar, everyone agrees that Yom Kippur this year will be on a certain day. And the past year was on a certain day. Everyone agrees Purim is going to be on this day. There's no dispute in the entire Klal Yisrael. Whether you're a Chassid, a Misnaged, you're a Sfardi, a Bukhari, a Yemenite, this has been written about. A lot of people talk about this, is that this is a miracle beyond miracles. It's the Yad Hashem that although Jews have a tendency to disagree on Machlokes, we still have only one calendar. It's amazing. The Gemara has a discussion with Gamliel. Gamliel of Yeshua, he told him there was indeed a disagreement, and he demanded that you come to me on the day that you consider to be I'm the authority, I'm in charge, and you better come to me on the day that you consider it to be Yom Kippur. I better see you with your wallet and your walking stick, and you better make sure you take the train, public transportation, to show that you will be machalel your own version of the calendar, because if you do not do so, you are going to destroy Klal Yisrael.
You know why he did it? Why he told him to come like this? You can tell him to fast in my day. That's it.
Publicly.
No, he wasn't, because Rabbi Yeshua would fast 2 days.
2 days.
According to this Heshbon and Rabbi Lomia. He said, no, I want you to come.
On the day,
Mechalel,
you have to Mechalel. Otherwise, it's going to make a churban in Gar. You have to Mechalel your day. So this Gemara over here is making is focusing on that specific point. It's an amazing. Yeah. You don't have this in the Gemara. You do have it. This is where it quotes this pasuk. It does quote. I never paid attention, but it quotes this pasuk. Not that I would know anyway. But ki yipolei mimicha, and there is the sugya of zokein mamre. It will not be known. It will be concealed mimicha. We take the word mimicha, the three letters, mem chaf, that appear in Devarim Yud Zayin, and we make what we a gezeirah shava to appear to Nachum, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Mimech. It's not the same vowels, but it's the same three letters, and we make a gezeirah shava, and just like over here it says, Mimech Yotza Choshev Al Hashem Ra'a. A person who is evil, who is yoyetz b'liyal, who advises that there should be a churban b'liyal, there should be a b'liyal. Here we're describing Sancheirif, the evil of the evil, the man that is evil, who went out to destroy, to rebel against Hashem. We take the word, and the starting word mimech, and we make a gzeirah shava to a person who attempts to be choylik, to be choylik on the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin has decided this year should be a leap year, or a month should have an extra day, and you're a very powerful, influential person, who obviously must have a lot of money, right? Otherwise, how would he have influence? He's a very powerful person, and he rallies his people to disagree with the Beis Din and to create their own calendar, all in the name of halacha. This person does not have the authority to do so. He's not in that position. And what he has done is equivalent to Sancheirif. He's a mimech yotza achoshev al Hashem ro'o yoyetz b'liyal. It's an incredible, powerful pasuk. V'mechaz ze yoyetz abaki b'ibr hashana. A person who's qualified, you know, this person, he's an expert. He does have all the knowledge. He wrote the Sefer on the Rambam's Kiddush HaChodesh. One of the most esoteric topics of learning today is to learn the Rambam's Kiddush HaChodesh, to try to figure out what the Rambam is talking about. And there are people out there who have written Sfarim, who have videos and diagrams, illustrations. It's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure. Okay, this is like a specialty for people that have a mind that's able to understand these things and has a desire to do so as well. You know, it's not just not enough to have the mind to understand. You have to really want to understand the complexities of these matters. And here you have such a person, and he comes out with a decision that the Beis Din is wrong. Problem is, you're not on the Beis Din. You may know more than the Beis Din. You may be smarter than all of the people on the Beis Din put together, but you're not on the Beis Din. And if you're not on the Beis Din, it's not your decision to make. It's not your place. You have to know your place in life. Hedyot kofatz berosh. The hedyot. Hedyot kofatz berosh. There's a rosh. There are people in charge. That's the way it is. Whether you like it or not, you want it. You want to make those decisions. So get online. Get in there. Get yourself into the Beis Din. But if you're not in the Beis Din, it's not your decision to make. It's not your place to influence and to sway Klal Yisrael. And by doing so, you fit into the category of the pasuk here, Mimech Yotza Choshev Al Hashem Ro'o Yoyetz B'liyo'al. Okay, let's now go to, we've done all the Mepharshim here. Let us, okay, let's maybe very quickly take a look at the Rabbi Avraham Ben Hagra. Just to run through very quickly, I don't want to spend too much time on we'll see how it goes. Pasuk Yud, Ki al asidim sivuchim uches avam sivuim ukulu kekash, yavesh mole. Perish, kimay akash hanishraf im nishraf be'eshruh ulach, nishavhev kitzos. If straw is wet, it produces smoke. Okay, and smoke is pollution. You want the least amount of smoke possible when you make a fire. And that's why it's always ideal to have wood that is thoroughly dry. The v'yuchal ligdol achar zman, efes kasher nis, and if it has some moisture, it's nis havhev kitzas, it's only scorched, and you can ligdol achar zmana. I'm not sure what he means by that. You can replant it. I'm not so sure what that means. Efes kasher nishraf ba'ad shu yavesh umole garinin also es kitzav lo yitzmach oid me eretz. I guess what he means over a forest fire. When the trees are still attached to the ground, and if there's a forest fire, so what happens to those trees that have been burnt in the forest fire? Will they ever produce fruit? If they are the type that produces fruit, or will they ever produce leaves? Will they ever be productive anymore, the trees in a forest? It depends. If they're moist, they're healthy, they're moist, and there's a fire, and they're singed, then they'll recover. Over time, these trees will recover, they will regain their strength, and they will produce fruit, they will produce leaves, whatever these trees are capable of producing, they will once again return. But if they are in a state of dryness, it's they're very, very dry, there's no moisture, there's been a drought for a period of time, and the trees have dried up, even though they're attached to the ground, and now there is a forest fire, that's it, they're finished. They're going to be consumed to the degree, even if they remain standing, they will never produce fruit or leaves or anything of value ever again. They will be destroyed while the thorns are dry, and they are intertwined one with the other. That's what it's saying over here, is that you Sancheriv, and your nation of Ashur, you will be in a state of dryness, so that when the fire is kindled against you, you'll be completely destroyed. It's an interesting idea, if you think about this, that when you have a war, let's say you have a nation, and there's a war. So if the nation is healthy, the leadership is robust, there are young people, there are believers in the country, and yet they're thoroughly defeated, they lose the war, and they're humiliated, and their weapons are taken away from them, and they're taken as prisoners. But they're healthy people, and they're humiliated. but they'll live to fight another day. Give them 20, 30, 40, 50 years, they will rebel, they'll come together, and they will rebuild. But if you have a nation who has no leadership, and with this enormous corruption at the top, and they're not organized, and they're in a state of dryness, and they're defeated, there'll never be another nation. That nation will never, ever rise again. Look what happened, you know, look at Germany in World War I, right? So they only lost to come back. So that's what it's saying about Sancheriv. You're going to be in a state at the end of your era when Nebuchadnezzar will come. So it's also a mazel. It's a hashkocha. When Nebuchadnezzar will come to attack you, you will be in a state of mind where you will not be able to recover. You will not be in a healthy state of government where you'll be able. And that's what it describes. You can be ki ad sirim sivuchim. Different than everything that we have learned until now. We learned until now, sirim either means you turning away from Hashem. Or sirim means what we like to translate, organized crime. There are a lot of thorns. You're so powerful. You're so mighty. If you put your hand here, you get hurt. You think you can touch this part, you'll get hurt over here. Wherever you try to attack, the defenses of the country are so strong and mighty. Any area where you try to attack, if you try to attack by air, you'll be shot down by missiles. If you try to attack by land, with tanks, you'll be cut down by the army on the ground. If you'll try to attack by water, there are submarines. That's what we learned in the Rashi and the Mitzudos. Ki ad sirim sivuchim. There are a lot of sharp points, and the sharp points are all interconnected. And there's absolutely no place for you to enter, to find the Pesach to enter. That's what we learned until now in Rashi. But the Rabbi Avraham ben Agra, he's saying something very different. He's saying that the word sirim is more of a metaphor. It means that the country is in a state of dryness. The people are not believers. There's no passion. There's no desire to continue. They're burnt out. They don't have any lachluchas, any moisture in believing in their country. Then when the enemy attacks, it's it. It's over. They're completely obliterated. They're completely dismantled. And they will never rise again. That's how he appears to learn Pshat in the Pasuk. It's very different than what we've learned until now. V'chein yuchavu, the last line, the third line, in the third page, 546, the third line in Rabbi Beir Avraham ben Agra, in Pasuk Yud, Efes, however, kasher nishraf, be'eshu yaveh, shemole gar inin, when they're full of seeds, meaning they're very, very dry. Also, a skitza, it's their end. V'lo yitzmach oid me eretz, these trees will never rise again. V'chem yuchavu ba'oid shasinim yireshem, v'nestabchu zebozeh, while the thorns are dry and they're intertwined one with the other. Uche sav'am sivu'im, shebitnam malayim v'atinehem milu cholav. Now here he writes something entirely different. Their stomachs are full, v'atinehem, I do not know what this word means. Maybe someone can help me. Anyone know what this word means? The atinehem molu cholav, okay, something with maybe their stomachs, their intestines are filled with milk. Over here, he's not learning here the word uchisavam sivum to mean intoxication with wine, but rather it means a time of maturity. A time when shleimus zman gidulehem, u'shleimus tuvam biyadam, they are at a state of shleimus. They're old, and when they will be destroyed, there'll be nothing left. If they're young, they have a future, and they'll live to fight another day. But here you're equivalent to being in a state where you are old, worn out, and burnt out. And there's nothing left for you to do anymore. Okay, pasik yud aleph. Next pasik. Mimech yatzah choshev al Hashem ro yetz b'liyal. I have dolbein machashav al eitzah. He's telling us a very important yisoid. This fits very much along with the machshav of the Gra. The Gra very often likes to tell us the difference between synonyms. Just like the Malbim is a big fan of telling us the difference between two words, like this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, there are two words, there are really three words, which appear. There are two parts of this week's parasha. The story of Yisro and the Aseres Hadibros, and then the story of Yeshaya. How does Yisro introduce himself to Klal Yisrael? Ani Chosencha Yisro Bo Elecha. How does Hashem introduce himself to Klal Yisrael? Onochi Hashem Elokecha. Asher Otzei Sicha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. How does, in the Haftarah, Yeshaya volunteer to serve Hashem? Hinini. Hinini. Hashem says, are there any good men that want to volunteer for the service? And Yeshaya says, Hinini, Shalcheini. I am here. Here I am. I'm ready. Send me on the mission. So my question is, what exactly is the difference between the word Ani, Ani, Chosencha Yisroi Boilecha, and the word Onoichi, Hashem Elokecha, and the word Hinini, like we see the Baal Tzfila on Yom Kippur, Baal Musaf, he says Hinini, Hinini, right? Different way. Hinini, what's the difference? What's the difference? So there are three different words which seemingly mean the same thing. So the Malbim indeed explains at least two of them, and he says what Ani means, whenever you use the word Ani, it means it's not important who I am. Let us say, for example, a person says, Ani Yoishev. It is I who am sitting. Whenever you use the word Ani, the Malbim says, it's not so important who is sitting. What's important for you to know is there is somebody that is sitting down. Who it is? Ani, it happens to be me. It could be you also. It could be someone else. But the person is sitting and not standing. Just make sure you pay attention to his position, the verb, he is sitting. If a person were to say, Onoichi Yoishev, the Malbim says, what's important for you to know, it's me, it is I who am sitting. Not you, and not him, and not him. It is I. Sitting, that's not so important. Sitting, standing, jumping up and down, That's a side point. Mm-hmm. That's not the focus. The focus is Onoichi. What's Hinini? Both. Hinini means it's me. It's I shouldn't say that. It's a little around. Hinini means it's not important who I am, but it's important who you are. Let me try to explain. This week's parasha, we're going over a tangent over here, but actually a little bit of hakdama to the Gra, because the Gra does the same thing with the two words of Machshav and Eitza. Well, in this week's parasha, Yisro says, Ani Chosencha Boilecha. Yisro says, I'm not important. It's not important who I am. Who cares who I am? I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. What's important is Boilecha. I want to join you. I want to be part of this. Who I am, that's not relevant. When Hashem gives the Torah, Onoichi Hashem Elokecha, what's important for you to know is there is a Ribono Shel Olam. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Asher Tzisicha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, yeah, okay, but that's not so important. The whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to know who took you out of Egypt. Onoichi. So the combination of this week's parasha is, we are not so important. It's not important who we are. Humility. What's important is to know, Onoichi, there is a creator. Yeshaya combines the two together. Hinini Shalcheini. Hashem says, I need some good men to volunteer for service. Yeshaya says, Hinini, I want to be a volunteer because I recognize I'm not important, but you're important. The word hinini, shalcheini, is an expression that synthesizes ani and onoichi. So here you only can appreciate this idea if you understand that in the Torah, even though we have many words that mean seemingly exactly the same thing, no such thing. We all know that in the English language, you have a thesaurus, and there are, you know, there are so many words which seemingly mean the same thing, but we all know, if you know how to write well, you know that you use this word in this context, and you use this word in this context, even though in the dictionary, they basically mean the same thing, but the way the words are used is a slight connotation, a flavor that's owned, that enhances the sentence, the statement, when you use the right word. Okay. Vocabulary, you always taught us, is not about using fancy words. It's about using the correct words. Okay, you can have some of the best writers don't use fancy words. They don't. They really don't. The vocabulary level of some of the best writers today are 10th grade, are 10th grade level. Why they recognize as being mumchim? They know how to use the right word every single time in every single place. Someone told me the New York Times, what level is the New York Times written on? Someone made a claim once, it's on a 10th grade level. The New York Times and the Wall Street Journal is living on a 12th, and an old analysis, scientific analysis. A scientific analysis of the average article in the New York Times and Wall Street Journal. New York Times came out through this AI program, 10th grade level, and the Wall Street Journal, 12th grade level. How could that be? Are you insulting all of the college sophisticated PhDs and college graduates? No, adaraba. That's the goof of the chachma. You hire professionals, people who know how to write. They don't let the average guy work for the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. People who write, they're not hired to go and show off and use a vocabulary that you have to go take out a dictionary every sentence to figure out what I never heard that word before, and never heard that word before. It's a matter of using the right word every single time with incredible precision accuracy. That's godless. That's true godless in writing, not to show off. What?
If you use more sensitive words, they won't read the paper.
Okay, but there's no question. The person who is very, like, they don't give a Pulitzer Prize. They don't give a Pulitzer Prize to people who write 10th grade level. They give the people who are writing on a much, much more sophisticated level. They're not giving it. They're not giving it to these people, even though they're, because there is obviously a chachma in being a more sophisticated. But the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal is written for the hamayinan. It's written for the common man. For the common man, therefore, it has to be written. But just because it has to be written with simple words, does not mean that there's an enormous chokhmah, tremendous chokhmah, knowing how to use the right word at the right time. Yeah.
One of is more specific.
Okay, no, but that's the whole point. The whole point over here is, okay, this parasha, we have the word two words to mean the same thing. The whole parasha centers around two words, ani and anochi. Ani Yisroi Chesencha Bo'ilecha, verse, the second half of the parasha, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And then we top it off with the Haftarah when Yeshayahu also wants to join the club and he says, Hinini. So you have to challenge yourself to fully appreciate the difference between these three words, which seemingly all mean the same thing. In English, it's all the same. I Yisro is coming to you. I Anochi, I am your God. And Yeshaya, I am willing to be a messenger for you, Hashem. So in English, it's the same translation, but obviously it's not. So here we, with that Hagama, we go to the Gra, this Gra. I have them. Mimech Yotza Choshev Lashem Ra'ah Yo'etz B'liol. We have repetition. Many times in the Mitzudos, he says, it's kafel hamilois. What was the expression? We translate poetic repetition.
Poetic license,
right? He just repeats many times. He just says, "Don't get worked up on the repetition in the pasuk. The repetition over here is just poetry. It's poetry in order to bring out the point, but it doesn't necessarily have any significance." That's what the Stavit very often says, but many of the other commentators, when they can find a reason for the repetition and look at the difference between the nuance and the words, they will exploit that opportunity to bring out the point. And here he does just that. Ha'hevdel ben machashava le'etza. Machashava choshev gam tinoik ben shana. Eich lemales ritzoynei v'etza. Period. But v'etza loseis lizulasai. A machshava is selfishness. When you plan and plot how to get what you want. Sometimes the machshavas can be much, much more sophisticated than an eitzah. An eitzah is advice to somebody else. Where do you get such a beautiful parish like this? You have these words only a million times throughout Tanakh. A machshava is when you're having thoughts. What could I do? Let's come up with a plan for me, I, to get what I want. I want money. I want kavod. I love kavod. I love it. I have to maneuver, and come up with a brilliant battle plan for me to achieve honor, power, and money. Delicious. It's true, I'm telling you. Everyone wants. Who doesn't want the hakina, hatayv, hakavod? Everyone wants to some degree three things. They want power, money, and they want honor. Not necessarily in that order. The order depends on the person and the situation, but a person ultimately wants all three. So you think, even subconsciously, you don't even realize you're coming up with these devious plans to get what you want. Then you have a situation where someone comes to you, he makes an appointment. You take him into your office, you sit down, and he says to you, can you help me? I need your help. What can I do for you? What do you want? I want power, kavod, and money. Please help me achieve these three things. So you start thinking. Give him advice. How to maneuver. How to manipulate people. How to achieve his goals. Is the advice you give your friend as sophisticated as what you do for yourself? Usually not, because you couldn't care less about your friend. You care about yourself. So when you care about yourself, you come up with some very sophisticated plans, but not about when it comes to someone else. An Eitzah is for someone else. A Machshav is for yourself. I know there are always many stories you have with children, how the teachers in even kindergarten sometimes are blown away at how sophisticated little teeny children can be in manipulating and maneuvering to get what they want in a kindergarten class. And you hear many stories like this, like the teacher, the parents, they cannot believe how this kid, this little pipsqueak, right, was able to, he did something, he had a whole plan how to get exactly what he wanted. Even adults aren't so sophisticated to get what they wanted. That's called a machshava, because it meant a lot to the child. It meant a lot. Children are very sensitive. Their shame is very great, much greater than an adult many times. You put a child to shame, you shame a child, it can have much greater consequence than putting an adult to shame. And their desire for, you know, honor, to be taken care of can be very, when they have plans, their plans can be very sophisticated. But when you come to someone else to give them an Eitzah, you don't really care so much. So the plan is not so sophisticated. That is what the Agra says. Something to always remember, this Yisayit, at least in his opinion. Ha'hevdel bein machshava le'Eitzah. Machashava choshev gam tinoik ben shan, even one-day-old child. Why? Because it's nogea him. It affects him. Eich l'malois ritzoynoi. How to get what you want. A one-day-old child couldn't care less about you. He cares about himself. So he has a lot of very, very sophisticated machashavas, but he has no eitzah. An eitzah comes with maturity. It comes when you get older and you realize your mortality. You realize that this world is just not about you. It's more about what you can do for somebody else. And it takes a very long time to come to really want to help someone else. The Eitzah loses lizulaso. He bishishim boim. This comes with age. Shishim means with old age. Bishishim means an old age. Bayamim with days. When they sheroy harbe, yuchlu loses esulasam, because they saw
they learned the ropes. They learned the ropes and they saw how you're able to help someone else, what the proper way, it takes a lot of training what to do in order to help someone else. Now he goes into another concept. What is the difference between these two words, between the word ra'ah, evil, and b'liyalhu? Ra'ahi piratis b'davar echad. It is evil in one. It is evil in one prat, in one specific world. Uviliyalhu aparik ol malchus shemayim, hu near l'cholchatos nifshem. Near is literally means plow, the plowing ground. It's where you basically plow, you open up a ditch. L'chol chatos nifsha, for all sins. It's Belial is the word ra'ah on steroids. It's a new, very powerful yisoy that's worth integrating into our system. Ra'ah is one prat. There's one thing I want to do that's evil. A person wants to steal money. He wants a person that has a beautiful watch. I want that watch. I'm going to figure out a way to steal it. That's called ra'ah. But when a person wants to overthrow the government, you want to overthrow authority and uproot everything. You want to destroy the whole mahapich ka'ar al piv. That is called the bilial. It's raw, not for a prat, for the klal, a generalization. Haparik ol malchus shemayim v'hu near, it is near the plowing ground. L'chol chatos nifsha, for all sins. Once you overthrow, you remove religion, now you can do every aveira. You're not limited only not to do one. You're not limited only to one. You can do every aveira you possibly want. The Omar. What does the pasuk here say? Mimech yatzah shnei mechad. From you comes forth everything. Echad choyshev al Hashem ro'ah b'prat. So choyshev means you're thinking about yourself. It's combining these two ideas together. You're selfish, and you are planning for yourself to do one sin against Hashem. V'gam yoyetz, you're also giving counsel to other people. Eich lifroich ol malchus shemayim michlo, from the society. L'chein in marpel lira'asim, there is no healing for the evil of these people. Yukulu kekash yavesh mol. It's very beautiful what he says here. He's saying over here, these kirvani word choshev al Hashem ra'ah. It's personal. The evil goes from personal to the klal. You're just one person. So how much harm can one person do? You're a prat. Since you're only one person, you're only considered, when you want to do evil in your own personal life, it's called ra'ah. But when you want to organize and rebel and bring everyone together in society, to organize the whole society, to come together, to overthrow authority, that's called you being yoyetz. You're giving counsel to other people, and it's being done to do what? Belial. Uproot the entire system. And that way there's no authority whatsoever and there's full corruption. Yeah.
Belial means Belial.
Right, so you said many times. Belial for the society, not just for yourself.
I think it was Nebuchadnezzar that he united the world against Hashem. Like he sat down, he figured it out. It wasn't himself. He sat down and
that's what we're saying over here. Exactly. It's exactly what we're saying over here. We're trying to say that Sancheriv, he covered the entire spectrum from being an evil individual in his own life. There are people that are evil. Personally, they go behind closed doors, they do terrible averos. Whenever they have an opportunity to steal, no one's watching, they'll steal, but it's personal. They live a life of evil for themselves. They're not necessarily trying to change society, make society evil. Society, but me in my personal life, if I have an opportunity to steal, an opportunity to do this aver, that aver, I'll do it. I won't hold myself back. So that is called a choyshev machashava lira'ah. It's only for myself. I'm not trying to influence anybody. I just want to have a good time in this world. And religion is in my way. So I'm going to think of solutions to be able to overcome any impediment that religion puts in my way, but it's just for myself. It's just myself. Therefore, I'm called Ra'ah because I am an individual and my plans are personal plans. That's why it's Choshev. Then you have people out there in society that are organizing the whole world to rebel. They're creating a new religion. Yoshka. There's a Yoshka, his followers, the church. Okay, talk about the church. Talk about...
The Nazis in Achshemom. Hitler was against pogroms. He was against that. He wanted to be organized. How you kill the... Sit down. Don't just run in and kill everyone. No. You sit down, you make a...
Organize.
He organized the whole thing.
Council to advise other people how to come together and uproot religion entirely. So your evil is not just for yourself, it's an evil for the whole world. That's Belial. And you're not just thinking how to enjoy yourself, you want other people to participate. That's called an Eitzah. So that's why we use the word Eitzah in reference to Belial, Yoyetz Belial, but when it comes to Ra'ah, we use the word Choshev. That is what Avraham and Agro is explaining, a very beautiful approach to understand this pasuk, understanding the precision of using the right word in the right place. And we have benefited from this yesod that every time we hear these four words ever again, it now has a whole new meaning. Choshev is personal. Eitzah is advice for someone else. Ra'ah is limited to the individual or to a specific agenda. And Belial means to uproot the entire system entirely for everyone. I will tell you this once before, I'll repeat it again. But there was once a very chashuv Rosh Yeshiva, and he told his Talmidim, I want you all to be Rabbanim. When I tell you what I'm about to tell you now, don't get excited. Wait until I get to the end. Don't walk out in the middle before I get to the end. Okay? He told his Talmidim, I want you all to be Rabbanim. I want you to be Rabbanim. And why? Because if you'll be a Rav, then you'll have to make believe that you care about someone else. You'll have a balabas in your shul who's not feeling well. You couldn't care less about him. You really could not care less. But what are you going to do? It's your job. You don't have a choice. So you're going to call him up. You're going to say, hello, how are you? I haven't seen you in a long time. How do you feel? Everything okay? You couldn't kill us. You put the guy under a lie detector. Why are you doing this? I'm paid to do this.
That's
not true. So the Talmud, they looked at him. And they said, are you crazy? You're telling us to go into a job and we should be a bunch of phonies and fakers? I mean, what's it all about? Right? So he says to them, that's what's going to be when you're a Rav for your first year or 2 years. But you know what's going to happen? After making believe that you care about someone for a year or two, it's going to rub off on you. And then when someone doesn't show up on Shabbos to shul, you're really going to care about him. For real. It's going to really mean something for real. Not because of his money or because of... And you're going to call him up with sincerity. Are you feeling okay? How are you? It will rub off on you. But if you don't become Rabbanim and you don't go through this make-believe process... This intermediary state of a life of make-believe, you'll go your whole life and you'll never care about anybody. In order to actually care about someone for real, the only way this can be is especially someone that's not from your family. If you're from your family, maybe then you care about. But someone who's just in general, you go online, you read news, you see things, you know, people have tsaras. You really could care less, as long as it's not me. As long as I dodge the bullet, right? But if you are involved in community affairs where people have problems, and this is what you do the whole day, you deal with helping people. So in the beginning, you couldn't care less, just your job. But over time, it really has an effect on you, and you become sincere. And then you'll live a life of really knowing what it means to care about somebody else. So that's what the Rav Avraham ben Agro, he writes here. To give an Eitzah, to give someone advice, what's in his benefit, he says here, doesn't happen overnight. Bishishim chochma means old age. It takes years and years of practice, years and years of going through the ropes, of dealing with issues, where you really understand what's going on, when you can be sincere. His words are very powerful. The Eitzah, what is it? Advice? Loseis lizulosai, to give someone else. This doesn't happen. This is not what he says here. Gam tinuk ben shana. A child, one day old baby, has machshavas. He knows his very sophisticated plans, extremely sophisticated plans, because they're selfish plans. It's all about himself. A child doesn't know anything in this world but himself. That's the way it is. But when you get older, it takes a lifetime in order to be sensitive to somebody else, someone else's needs. And the Eitzah takes years. Lo seis lizu lo soy, he be shishim ba'im bayomim. It comes with days, not just days. Shishim means old age of experience. A life, bibnei shera'u harbe. You saw a lot in life.
Life experience.
Life experience. And practice, not just sitting doing nothing. Yeah, you don't practice, it's not going to make a difference. Then you can come, yuchlu liyoetz es zulosan. They should take this sentence over here and they should put it on the top of the office of every rabbi. Every person who sits the whole day and gives advice to people, that's what it is. It's not. It's something which is very, very hard to put yourself in, to know what's the best interest of somebody else, and not in your best interest, not to be noigea bedavar. Okay. Okay. Let us continue. Okay. Let's now continue to the next pasuk. Do we finish over here? Okay, next pasuk. Now we go to pasuk Yudbeis. Pasuk Yudbeis begins Koyamar Hashem im shleimim v'chein rabim v'chein nogoyzu v'ovar. So says Hashem. There's another min over here. Im shleimim v'chein rabim v'chein nogoyzu v'ovar v'inisich loy a'aner oid. Let's right away see the Mitzudos Tabit. Pasuk Yud Beis on page 4549. Im Shleimim. Im Yihyu Anshe Ninve Shleimim Bidei Achas Uveitza Muskemes. If the people of Ninve would be unified, they would be together. Achtos. V'chein Yihyu Rabim B'mispar Shekol Zehu Siba El Hanitzachayin. All of these things would be a cause for them to succeed, to win any battle. Achtos, if you all come together, everyone is in the same team. V'chein nogoizu. Now, what is the word nogoizu? This nogoizu, I think Rashi quotes this in the Chumash often. What does this word mean? Ritzon Olamar, af al pichein yukein gizuzim v'nichrosim kasher amart. It would make a difference. Nogoizu means you'll be cut down. Nogoizu means you will be nichrosim. The Mitzudos Tzion, he writes, Havav, he, b'mokoyim af, v'chein nogozu, v'chein af al pichein. It doesn't make a difference. V'chein. Nevertheless, even if you'll all be unified, b'achdus, and to defeat and to overcome your enemy, it's not going to make a difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cut you down. V'chein hanemolim am lo oz vayochinu vakayitz lachmam. There he uses the expression over there, vayochinu. I'm not sure what it means over there, but nagozu, the next word, nagozu in the mitzvah siyoin, miloshen giziza ucherisa. Nagozu, like a nazir. A nazir, no, it's not the same word.
Goizes.
Goizes, to cut. Goizes, to shear off the wool. Okay, you're going to be sheep. You're going to cut. Okay, next word, back to the mitzvah David. The avar ha'am min olam, you will cease, you will pass from this world. The e ni sich ritzon leimar a'aneh oisach betachlis ha'inei v'havadoin, I will torture you. I will torture you betachlis ha'inui v'havadoin with the ultimate torture and destruction. Ad shaloi etzarech la'nois esach oid, to the point where I'll no longer need to torture you anymore. Ki ba'pamahi tichlem mikol v'chol, because what I'm going to do to you in one shot is going to be so powerful, you won't be able to get up anymore. You'll be completely destroyed. Fudugmas amroi. This is just another way of saying what it said in the previous pasuk. Loi sokum pa'amayim tzara. You're not going to stand to fight another day. So if we read the pasuk one more time. Koyamar Hashem, so says Hashem, im shleimim v'chein rabim. Even if the people of Nineveh are complete, you are unified. You are unified in one day. There's no infighting. There's unity. V'chein rabim. You have all of the power, all of the resources you need to fight a battle. It's not going to make a difference. V'chein. V'chein here means nevertheless. Nevertheless, nagoizu. It is my decree that you will be cut down, v'ovar, and you will pass away from this world. You will cease to exist. And the intensity of my punishment to you is going to be so great, v'ini sich, I will torture you, milashon oini, to the point where loy a'anech od, it will not be necessary for me to punish you and to torture you a second time, because you'll be finished on the first round. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll continue tomorrow.